set a man to watch all night. Watch all night, watch all night. We'll set a man to watch all night, my fair lady.
Hello, and welcome to Kids Storytime. That opening song was called London Bridge. Tonight we have two stories for you. The first one is called Sophie's Starry Stunt, and the second story is called The Grateful Crane. After the first story, we'll have 10 true or false questions. We'll give you a little time to think about your answer, then we'll reveal the answer. Tonight's first story is called Sophie's Starry Stunt. Let's listen to it now.
Hello, and welcome to Calm Kids. Calming stories for kids by kids. Are you ready to hear a story? Great! Your storytellers are Lucy and Charlotte. And today we are telling a story called Sophie's Starry Stunt from the Sophie's Adventures series. Thank you so much to everyone who has been faithfully listening. A while back, we launched a drawing competition, and we have received so many great drawings. Stick around until the end of the story to hear the winners. Get comfy and enjoy the story.
It was the beginning of spring, and like every spring, it was very rainy. And it just so happened that Sophie was taking a stroll in the park when it began to rain. So she thought that it would be a good time to put the key in the lock and zip, zip, zip. Up and up she went to another one of her adventures. This time, instead of landing somewhere that seemed relatively normal, she landed somewhere that she could never have imagined. Not even in her wildest dreams. The ground was covered in silver glitter. Instead of grass or cement under her feet, it was just tons of glitter. It was so strange, but so exciting. Sophie loved it. Then she looked around, and most importantly, looked up. Stretching far above her head, in every direction, was a starry night sky. She could see nothing else for miles and miles but beautiful dark blue speckled with bright points, shining stars. Around her, she realized that she wasn't on Earth. She must be on a different planet. It was a small planet because she could see the slight curve of the ground. There were some things that did resemble Earth, though. They had trees, lots of them, except these were definitely not normal trees. These trees were blue and only had two branches stemming off of the trunk in some sort of a Y shape, with pink fluff on the tips of either end. Huh, thought Sophie. These are such strange trees. I've never seen a blue tree before. But that's not where the strangeness ended. Because out of nowhere, dozens of creatures started running towards her. They weren't scary at all. They looked very friendly, cute even. They were a magenta pink and very fluffy. In a cross between a dog and a koala. They all had big smiles on their face and three eyes and walked around on four paws. I'm sorry, I'm not from around here, said Sophie. But the aliens just blinked at her, clearly not understanding what she was saying. She could tell it was some sort of question, though. And, before she knew what was happening, all these furry pink aliens started dancing. They formed circles around her, holding each other's paws on their back legs, dancing in circles all around her, kicking up their legs, and doing their version of what she assumed was laughing. She realized that the alien had asked her if she wanted to dance, so, because she was on a strange planet, She decided to dance with them. They laughed and laughed and danced in circles on the glittery floor under a starry night sky. She had a great time, and even though she could not understand a word of what these aliens were saying, she still found that she could communicate with them through hand gestures and acting, a bit like charades. That's when they started doing some kind of a conga line, one after the other, dancing away into the distance. There must have been hundreds of them. She was just about to follow them when, out of nowhere, she heard a big boom. I wonder what that could be, thought Sophie. And without really thinking about it, she decided to go investigate. It was coming from the opposite direction that the furry aliens were dancing to. So she walked over to see what was going on. She didn't have to walk far until she saw what had happened. There was a huge crater in the glittery ground, and she could see the layers upon layers of different colored glitter underneath. And there, on top of it all, was a glowing, shining, sparkling, glimmering star. It was huge. Sophie had never seen a star up close before. She'd only ever seen them in the sky. It was glowing, a kind of pulsating shine, right in front of her eyes. The star looked sad. It looked distressed. Sophie was a little bit scared, but you don't meet a star every day, so she went up to it. Excuse me, star, I'm not sure if you understand what I'm saying, but are you okay? The star didn't respond, and once she thought about it, she realized that stars probably couldn't speak, because who would they speak to, up there, all alone? However, this star had clearly crash-landed on this planet. Stars weren't supposed to land on planets. They were supposed to be in the sky. So she figured something must be wrong. It's okay, she said to the star. I'm gonna help you. We'll get you back up into the sky where you belong. And at this, the star looked a little bit happier. So she guessed that it might have understood. So she started running in the opposite direction as fast as she could to go seek help from the aliens she danced with earlier. Help! Help! She shouted at them when she finally found them. There's a star! It landed on your planet! It really needs help! Yes, yes! I need your help! And she pointed towards the direction of the star. The little furry creatures shrugged, and several of them started running with her. When they got there, she showed them, and the star looked sadder than ever. The little aliens looked at each other, nodded, and shook. Then, all of a sudden, hundreds of these little aliens started running, and she decided that that must have been a call for help. Once all the aliens had assembled and were there, they needed to figure out a plan. All of a sudden, it struck Sophie. The trees! We can use the trees! And she pointed and mimed at the aliens, trying to describe a plan, using only her hands. The boss of the aliens seemed to have somewhat understood, and shook its paw at one of his friends, and that friend ran and got a long piece of a stretchy material. It looked like rope, except it bent and flexed. Perfect, said Sophie to the aliens.
Manana,
it agreed. Then they started climbing on each other's backs, creating some sort of pyramid against one of the biggest trees they could find. They tied the elastics to either of the branches of the Y-shaped tree, Then, the hundreds of other aliens started to work on lifting up the star. It was hard, and even Sophie helped. The star was heavy. But finally, they got it into position, the star resting between the two Y-shaped branches of the tree, leaning on the elastics. The aliens, still piled up high in a pyramid, stretched the elastic far, far back and nodded at Sophie. "On your mark, get ready," she said. "Go!" And they flung the star back into the sky, like a slingshot. As it shone through the air, the star smiled and let out some sort of firework. Glittering rainbow spots of light showered from it, a sort of thank you. "Thank you, aliens," said Sophie. "I couldn't have done it without you."
"No,"
the leader said to Sophie. And then a chorus of all the hundreds of other aliens started thanking her in their own language. "Goodbye, and thank you," said Sophie, as she waved at them. But before she left, they handed her something from their furry pink paw. It was some sort of glittery charm. And the leader pointed at the ground. It was glitter from the ground in a star-shaped charm. He pointed at Sophie's necklace, which the key was dangling off of around her neck. She understood. "Thank you so much," as she fastened the charm next to her key and put the key into the lock, and zip, 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 landed back in the park. Now the sun was shining, as the spring rain had finally stopped. She had loved going to the starry sky planet, and would never forget her adventure. It's finally time to announce the winners of our toy drawing competition. Thank you so much to everyone who entered. We loved all of your entries. The second place winner is Benjamin. Well done. In first place is Clara for her amazing drawing of her favorite doll.
Both of your entries were awesome and will be featured on our Instagram and Facebook page, linked in the description. Congratulations and thank you for participating and listening.
And that's the end of tonight's first story. Time now for tonight's true or false questions. We have 10 for you. You can have your pen and paper handy. We have included an answer sheet on the Kids Radio page, and you can download it to keep track of the questions throughout the week. We'll give you a question and then give you a little bit of time to think of the answer before we tell you. Okay, ready? Here's your first question. Question number one. The inventor of the light bulb, Thomas Edison, was afraid of the dark. True or false? And the answer was true. He was afraid of the dark. Question number two. The letter T is the most common in the English language. True or false? And that answer is false. That it's actually the letter E. Question number three. The strongest muscle in proportion to its size in the human body is the tongue. True or false? And the answer is true. Question number four. A cockroach will live for 9 days without its head before it starves to death. True or false? Question number five. A duck's quack does not echo. True or false? And that is true. Question number 6. Michael Jordan, famous basketball star, was once cut from his high school basketball team. Is that true or false? That was actually true. Question number 7. Toronto is the capital of Canada. True or false? And that's false. The capital of Canada is Ottawa. Question number 8. Japan has square watermelons. True or false? And the answer to that one is true. Question number 9. The name of the dog on the Cracker Jack's box is called Spot. Is that true or false? And that is false. His name is actually Bingo. And the final true or false question, number 10. Fortune cookies were invented in China. Is that true or false? And you may be surprised at this answer. I got it wrong, too. The actual answer is false. Fortune cookies were invented in the United States. So there's your 10 true or false questions. Time now for our second story of the night. It's called The Grateful Crane.
The Grateful Crane. Hello, this is Richard. And Bertie's asked me to tell you a traditional story from Japan. It's rather a lovely story, but just a little bit sad. It's called The Grateful Crane. It was winter. The fields were covered with snow, and the winding river was frozen so thickly that you could walk on it. A poor farmer was returning home along the riverbank when he heard a noise from inside a frosty thicket. He understood right away that it was a wounded bird, and his first thought was that it would make an easy catch to take home and boil in his pot. But when he parted the twigs and undergrowth, he found such a beautiful bird that he did not have the heart to kill it. It was a crane, whose side had been pierced by an arrow. He pulled out the shaft and rubbed some balm into the wound. The crane spread out its wings and soared into the sky. The farmer returned to his hovel, ate half a bowl of rice, and went to bed as soon as it was dark, because there was nothing else to do. In the early hours of the morning, he heard a tap, tap, tapping at his door. At first he thought it was the wind, and then he wondered if it was a ghost. At last he realized that he would not sleep until he opened up and saw who or what was there. He lifted up the latch, expecting to see a ghastly apparition in the moonlight. He was prepared for a spectre from the spirit world. His hand clasping a great knife was ready for a robber, but he was utterly unready for the face of a beautiful girl. In fact, she was so lovely that he was quite startled. He was simply amazed that anyone could be so gorgeous, let alone standing at his door. He let the girl in, and she slept on his bed while he lay by the ashes of the fire. After she had stayed with him for 3 days and three nights, he finally found the words to ask her to marry him, though he never expected her to accept. The girl replied that she had come to his door hoping that he would ask that very question, and she gladly accepted. The farmer thought to himself, "Until just recently, I was lonely, poor and wretched. Now I am still poor, but chance or some god has brought me happiness." but nobody can live on love alone. The winter was long and hard. The couple ran out of rice to take the edge off their hunger. The farmer said, "What are we to do? I have no food, no money, and nothing we can sell." He himself was on the brink of tears, and he expected that his wife would either grow angry with him for failing to provide for them both, or to break down in sobs. This, he thought, was the end of their happiness. But instead she smiled and said, "Dear husband, do not worry or fret. I will weave a cloth, and you shall take it to the market to sell." The farmer shrugged his shoulders, because they had no thread to weave. But his wife went into the one and only room of their house, and as she closed the door, she said, "Whatever you do, do not come in." Some hours later, she came out of the room, carrying a beautiful cloth. It was embroidered with flowers and birds, and was so beautiful that it was fit for a princess. The next day, the farmer took it to the market and sold it for a great sum. The couple had enough money to last several winters. But when you have money, there is a tendency to spend. You forget how careful you once were. You buy whatever you want, and you pay prices that are sometimes over the odds. In short, the money ran out, and once again the couple were poor. The farmer was again on the edge of despair, but his wife said, "Do not fret. I will weave another cloth. I will go into the back room and work. But whatever you do, do not peep in until I come out." While his wife weaved, the farmer sat and wondered how he had been so fortunate to have found such a woman. One so lovely. One who loved him, and one who was able to weave cloth out of nothing. He recalled how she had turned up at his door on a winter's night, and he thought about how little he knew or understood who she was, why she had come to him, or how she weaved the cloth. He lived with her, he loved her, yet he hardly knew her. At last his curiosity overcame him. He opened the door, just a crack, and he peeped in. And this is what he saw. It was his wife, but not a woman. She was the crane that he had saved from the thicket. On the floor was an intricate pattern of feathers, and as she worked, she plucked yet more feathers from her own breast. The cost to her was pain and loss of her plumage. But she was ready to inflict this on herself for him. But then the bird looked up and saw him. She let out a cry and shed a single tear from her eye. She flapped her wings and flew up and away, out through the hole in the roof that served as a chimney in the cottage. And that was the last the poor farmer ever saw of the grateful crane who had become his wife, and who had plucked feathers from her own breast to keep him from poverty. He never married again, and lived to the end of his days alone. And that was the story of the Grateful Crane. Bertie says he hopes you didn't find it too sad. It's rather beautiful, and a bit of a warning not to be too curious for your own good. I'll be back soon with another story. And in the meantime, don't forget, there is a big collection of stories that you can browse and listen to for free at storynori.com. For now, from me, Richard Scott. Bye-bye.
We've come to the end of tonight's show. Thank you for stopping by and spending some time with us. We hope you enjoyed the stories and the true or false questions. We'll be back here again tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with another Kids Storytime show. Check down at the bottom of the kids' page and download the free craft files we've included for you. Our closing song is called "This Little Light of Mine." Good night, everybody. We'll see you here again tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock on the Kids' Story Time.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't put it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Let it shine, let it shine.